Bibles and turn to Matthew. Oops. Matthew chapter 7. It'll be 15 through 23. Need to beware of the false prophets and teachers. So beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we continue just thanking you, as always, for another time that we can meet together in your house. And Father, it's a blessing for your word that we can have it. And as we study it and as we read it, as we sit under the preaching and teaching of it, Father, I pray that we're drawn closer to you, that our faith does increase. I pray, Father, that you're lifted up and glorified in all that's said and done. I do pray, Father, that you would touch each of our hearts, that your word would go out and touch it such a way that we would want to do more. Father, as we see this world is spiraling out of control at times, and when we see so many people that have no idea what they've rejected, no idea that they need a Savior. And I pray, Father, that we'd be diligent in getting the gospel out to them, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we must be wary of Satan's tares, right? The tares, we talked about that last week and kind of finishing up that portion here. We need to be wary of them. They're everywhere. And we're not going to be able to know who they are all the time. But he puts them in to mess up what God's doing. Tares are often the source of offenses in the church for which believers are blamed. People come in and cause division, cause strife, cause all kinds of things that go on. And if you've never been in a church where there's been division going on in the church, praise the Lord. If you've been in a church where you've had division going on, then you know. You sit in the back and you watched all this going on. And I'm not saying the back of the church. I'm saying you just sit back and you watch what's going on and you think, this is not supposed to happen in God's house. This is, His Word tells us it's not supposed to happen. But who gets blamed? God's people get blamed. Why? Because these people come in professing to be God's children. So who gets blamed? We do. Had a nice conversation today as we had what I would call woke indoctrination again. Several of us at the table believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we had quite a conversation over, we have the answer, right? They just don't want to ask us the question of what's the answer, right? We have the answer. It's, first of all, they all came up with the same answer, right? Lord Jesus Christ, right? People need Christ. I said, wait a minute, it's two-part, though. People need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but then they need to live their life according to His Word. See, because there's people out there that profess to know Christ, but they're living like the devil, which is giving Christianity a bad name. And so we have to be careful. And then I used my favorite line, Christians give Christians a bad name. And it's true. It's true. People who profess to know Christ give other Christ-professing born-again believers, I almost said Christians, but I don't want to call them Christians if they're not actually walking the walk. And so I said, it's really difficult. We have this problem. And so I said, we wouldn't have this indoctrination stuff going on, even in real estate circles and in the colleges and universities and the schools and all the way down to, you know, pre-kindergarten and all, if people came to know Christ and lived their life according to His Word. Because we'd all say, this stuff doesn't make any sense. And then tares are often the source of immoralities in the church for which believers are blamed. Yeah. Can't tell you how many times I've heard, well, they profess to be a Christian and they've been married 4 times, or they've been sleeping around on their wife, or they've been doing this, or they've... Folks, we're human beings, right? Anybody here born perfect? I noticed no hands shot up. I mean, we're sinners. We're all sinners. Thank God if you're saved by grace. But we're sinners. And so we get blamed for everything that's going on. So as not to be offended by their talk, we have to be careful. Tares are often the source of heresies in the church. They're also the source of divisions in the church. Come in, what does Satan want to do? He wants to divide and conquer. So if he can come in and cause a division in the church, he can conquer, right? See, way too many churches split. Not that I've been involved in, but I've seen them split. I've seen some that have gone, they didn't split, they just went way off, away from the Word of God. Well, that's going to happen, isn't it? When people get away from God's Word, the church is going to go away from God's Word. Because that's what they're doing. And who's behind all that? Satan. Satan wants nothing more than to be able to drive a wedge between people and God's churches so that they'll close, right? They'll go under. And over and over and over, I can't tell you, it's been about a year since I looked it up, but at that time, there were hundreds of churches closing in the United States every year. Hundreds. Well, now, don't get me wrong, there's some that probably should. But if you're really, truly teaching the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, we need churches that are out there doing that. We need people to come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to be getting the gospel out, not closing. Then we must therefore remember that we are commanded to, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? We need to search ourselves, examine ourselves, right? I've had people say, you know, I really don't know if I'm saved. Well, the Bible says we can know. So if you made a profession of faith, you should know. Now, talking to some people, well, it was 3 years before I knew I was saved. I have to tell you, it wasn't 3 years before I knew I was saved. When I got saved, it was like, whoa, this is amazing. This huge weight like was lifted off of me. It was an amazing experience. And it was like, it didn't take 3 years to figure that out. I said, if it took you 3 years to figure out that you got saved, I would question what I'm relying on for salvation. Now, I don't want anybody to doubt their salvation that's truly saved, right? But I want people to be truly saved. And then I had another one say, you know, there's days when I just don't think I'm saved. Okay, there's days when I can say, honestly, I'm going to confess a fault. There's days when I think, you know, I'm not all that I could be today for God. But it hasn't made me question the fact that I'm saved. I just have some days when, you know, I want to throttle somebody and it's not very Christian-like, right? People just frustrate you after a while and you just think, I'm just at the end of my rope. That's not acting very Christ-like, but it doesn't mean I've lost my salvation. And so I wouldn't question that. So, but if you're questioning it, you need to get it right. You need to make sure. I mean, I would hate to step out into eternity saying, you know, I thought I was saved and find out I wasn't. It'd be like horrible. So we need to make sure. The following are a few of the scriptural fruit tests which we can apply to false teachers or to ourselves. Number one, do they deny or preach a different Christ? Look at 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 15 of 1 John chapter 4. It says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We need to try them. Many false teachers give lip service to the worship of Christ, but they deny either his unique deity and his unique role as the only begotten Son of God who is God robed in human flesh, or his unique role as the only way of salvation. Right? Jesus told us he is the only way. It's pretty clear. I mean, he didn't, you know, skirt the issue. He just came right out and said, this is it. You want to be reconciled to God the Father, it's through me, period. He laid it out there pretty plain. And yet, people want to come up with a different plan. We know that God himself, in John 3:16, we all know that verse. We can recite it forwards and backwards and upside down and every which way, right? We all know it. God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die in our place. Why? So we could have everlasting life. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. All these things. And then look at Acts 4:12. If Jesus being the one to tell you wasn't enough, here right in the Word of God says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's pretty clear. Lays it right out there. Number two, test two, do they live in a lifestyle of constant sin or of unrighteousness? I mean, you see them. And what they're doing, right? That's why we need to be inspectors, right? We need to see. How are they doing it? Test number three, do they love other believers? Jesus is pretty clear there in 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You know, we say, we love God. Well, it's not true if you hate your brother. God doesn't mince words there either. Test four, do they continue in the faith? 1 John 2:19. Do they continue in the faith? Okay, I must have got that one wrong. Well, where did I get that verse? What was that? 1 John 2:19. 2. You're right, it is. Why, when I looked at that, it didn't look right. Okay. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I remember being in a church one time and they told me, anybody who would ever leave this church is not saved. Pretty bold statement, isn't it? Does God move people? You bet he does. How do you get anybody to the mission field? How do you get people that come up in a church and they go out and start another church? I guess those things aren't supposed to happen. Oh, wait a minute. The Word of God tells us they are supposed to happen. So that statement is just foolish. But there are some that do go out because they weren't of us. Right? And it happens. Colossians 1:23 says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Test number five, do they truly trust Christ, or do they trust their good works for salvation? Here's a good test, right? Because, like I said earlier, what are you trusting in for salvation? If you don't know for sure that you're saved, what have you been trusting in? Because if you've trusted in Christ and what he's done and that alone, there should be no question that you're saved, right? Look at Matthew. We're going to be out of time here. So Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Again, we hear, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Listen to all this stuff, you know. Have we not done this? Have we not done this? Have we not done this? Look at what all we have done, right? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's not about what we've done. It's about what he's done. We need to get that. People need to get that. And when they don't get that, that's when they have a problem. That's when they start questioning, because they're relying on the wrong thing for their salvation. And it doesn't take long to get messed up when you're relying on you instead of relying on him. All right, we're going to move into prayer requests.